Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wow. We beat West Virginia in the backyard brawl, and we beat the officials too in one game.
Well, I know of one Pitt West Virginia game where they beat West Virginia and the officials, and that was 13-9, and that was the most egregious example I've ever seen, especially live, a live sporting event, or maybe any, where it looked like the referees wanted one team to win. That was the most blatant example I've ever seen. The other day, I can understand if Narduzzi was ticked off at some of the calls, but some went the other way, Bob. West Virginia had a touchdown pass called back on a holding that the analyst, I forget who was working the game, said was... He said, I don't really see anything there. They had a touchdown called back on an interference play. The call, I think Narduzzi complained about the hit out of bounds on Green. Yeah, that was a good call.
That was a good call. I agree with you. I think that was the wrong case to make a statement about officiating. There have been far worse examples.
But there were some other ones to talk about.
I know, but it goes both ways. I honestly think that when you look at it and break it down, both teams could have had complaints. But who doesn't when there's a penalty flag called?
No, the targeting penalty was a good call against Pitt?
It was.
Do you agree with that?
Yep.
Now, let me see. I have some of these written down here.
I think the main one that he was talking about was the push-off in the end zone or non-push-off call West Virginia scored a touchdown on.
It could have been offensive pass interference. It could have been.
Could have been.
But the ones that I would have been ticked off, and I would be if I was a Pitt fan, were some of these holding calls on the last two drives. The one on number 50, whose name I forget, was a BS call. And then the real BS call was on the punt, that preceded the winning drive. They called number 8 for a hold. What?
Yeah, I thought that
there were 18 guys in there. And that stuff always, there was nothing blatant. And that's the stuff that's really right before the winning drive. You're going to call that it was an okay punt return that had nothing to do with whatever that guy was doing. That's the type of crap that says they're subtly trying to screw us over. However, there were many calls, like I said, on the other side, and it's not like the referees pocketed their flags on West Virginia either. In fact, on the winning touchdown, they were going to call interference, right?
Yes, they were.
Was it the winning touchdown or the one where it was second and 30?
Second and 30.
Yeah, they would have gotten a first down anyway.
That was the last one.
On interference. So it's not like they weren't calling anything on West Virginia. They were. But a couple of those little subtle holding calls, which you could call in any play. So then you start thinking, oh, they're picking now to call that. Really would have ticked me off. I do get that part of it. But it didn't rise to the level of, oh, my God, this is Sacramento against the Lakers or the 13-9 game. It just didn't.
No, the 13-9 game was the biggest example, I thought. So that one's pretty well documented what happened in that game. But with the issue of officiating, it's tough to call. You know, you have to be very, very consistent more than anything with these calls. And every time there's contact, you cannot just immediately assume there's a flag involved. I think sometimes all levels of officiating, we see that. There's a little bit of contact here, and so you're gonna penalize defenders mostly in these kinds of situations. We saw it in the Bengals game yesterday, that 4th and 16 call. To me, that was desperation time.
That was a good call, Bob.
Yeah, if it had been a no call, I don't think it would have been something that I would have looked at and said, should have been called the other. I wouldn't have yelled about it. It could have been either way. I think that's a play that just, you need the defender who has a right to go to the ball and the guy who's trying to make the catch. They both go up at the same time. There's contact. Of course there's contact.
You have to make that call.
On 4th and 16, I don't think you do.
Does that have to do with it?
Because I just think it was a desperation attempt. Both guys are going for a ball. He was dragged down. None of it.
He hit the guy in the back of the head.
You're going up for a ball. There's going to be contact.
Well, the point is the guy was early. the guy hit the receiver way too early.
Did you hear how City Limits jumped in and said you were wrong, Bob?
Yeah, he did. And a lot of people agree with you and you, Joe. But I'm just saying, in those situations, if you start calling every little time there's any sort of contact, you're gonna paint yourself in a very
I thought that
tough
was blatant
corner.
Contact, but I do okay. hear you that games are over officiated. If I right. had a problem with any Pittsburgh football game from the weekend with the officiating, it was the Steelers game, and I'm talking for both teams. It was unwatchable in the second half. There were six penalties on five plays at one point, including almost back-to-back. Maybe it was two out of the three plays were offsetting penalties.
Right.
Flags
so they had 22
everywhere.
Flags thrown all, and 19 accepted. It was just too many.
It was too many. It was too much. And yet, I saw T.J. Watt and Highsmith being so blatantly held, they could have thrown five more, but they could have taken some off the other end. It was ridiculous. Why don't we talk about a couple of those calls? I heard you on TV saying the Van Jefferson call was the wrong call. No, it wasn't. And Sterator was wrong, too. He said that Van Jefferson didn't initiate the contact. Jefferson went in there and crashed into the guy.
I think that's a play you can call or not call. And one way or the other, I think the best thing to do in those situations is not call it.
That
if
was
it's
as
blatant. Yes, it wasn't blatant.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't
yes,
blatant.
It
no,
was.
It wasn't.
It was as blatant a pick play as
they,
you'll ever
I've
see.
I've seen pick plays not called that
he
were worse than
that. He ran in and practically cracked back the guy.
That's what I'm talking about, consistency with officiating. One unit won't call it, another will. How do you play the game when you don't know what they're going to call and you have a play design that's supposed to create space for your best receiver?
Now you've caused a coughing attack.
I thought it was well schemed by the Steelers to create that opening.
He went in there and practically pulled a Hines Ward on the guy. He initiated the contact, he cracked him, and he created a wide open advantage for his receiver. I can't imagine what Sterator was looking at there, and I can't imagine what you were.
I'm saying the consistency of the call. Have you not seen it where it's been ignored and plays go on like that?
Sure.
So how do you do it? If you're a player, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to you're going into a middle of the field to create a space for Pickens.
He blatantly hit the guy.
No, he didn't. I'm
with Bob. I'm 1,000% with Bob. The defender is the one who initiated the contact with Van
what?
Jefferson.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
That
true.
It wasn't
Dean
true.
Dean Blandino said, too. That is
no,
what,
it's not
that
Dean
is
Blandino. It was Gene Steratore.
Well, whoever the hell it was.
That's just blatantly wrong. Jefferson initiated the contact.
The defender ran into Jefferson
no,
a half a second
I thought
before
it was not. It did not rise
on.
To the level of a penalty.
I thought it
you
was
can
an
say
obvious
whatever you
call.
Want. No, it's not.
It was.
You want flags. Joe, you're a flag day guy. You want
no,
more flags.
No, I want flags for egregious plays and obvious plays.
And that,
and that
wasn't
was an
either.
Obvious
no, it wasn't.
Call. Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't.
Josh Yoey agrees with me, so there.
Well, Josh is a man of the people.
He's one person.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That makes two of
what
us.
What I'm saying is,
you are two people.
Every time there's
there are many more.
Are you sick of this? Are you sick of holding on returns every single
yes.
play? I watched
what returns?
All day yesterday. Any return, there's a hold.
I'm sick of that. And as I said earlier,
unless it immediately comes into the play,
as I said earlier,
affects the outcome of the play. Some of these holds are on the other side of the field that don't impact that.
It was like the return in the pit game, the last return. It didn't affect the return.
If it doesn't affect the return, why are you throwing a flag?
I agree. This the one on Van Jefferson directly affected a scoring play and was blatant. And I don't know what you guys are looking at. I'll be honest about that. But there were also, as I mentioned, blatant missed holding calls on Watt and Highsmith.
Every play almost. And that's the problem.
The stuff they do to Watt
if
is
you call
almost
play,
illegal.
Listen,
I mean, on the streets.
If you're an offensive lineman, I would tell any offensive lineman, when I'm with T.J. Watt, hold him every time you can. They can't possibly call it on every down, and they won't. So do what you can to get in his way, and if it means taking a penalty, so be it.
And I'll tell you
not
another
call
that
every
sucked.
Time.
And for anyone who thinks I'm anti-Steeler here, I'm actually on balance – think the Steelers got the worst of it yesterday. I think the Jefferson call was very correct. The worst call of the day was the non-holding holding call on Dan Moore.
Yeah,
he didn't do anything.
Again, though, that's what we're talking about.
These over-officious jerks.
Egregious holds on T.J. Watt not called. Dan Moore gets called for nothing.
Poor Dan Moore.
No, I'm just saying that's...
No, I'm saying poor Dan Moore. He gets enough grief. And then they get a play, a first down called back on a non-holding hold.
Generally speaking, let me ask you this question. Would you rather have more flags?
Less.
Okay. If you want less flags, and you have to let some of this go, that Jefferson was not a penalty.
No, that you can't do that, Bob.
Yes, you can.
It's a blatant pick play at the goal line and an easy touchdown on which he initiated not just contact, but hard contact.
Okay. We agree to disagree.
Let's go get a clip of the play, and then we can fight. But if I'm gonna err on one side or the other, it's gonna be on less flags. Trust me on that. Like I said, it needs to be obvious, it needs to be egregious, and it needs to affect the play. We had Blandino on here once when he was the NFL's VP of officiating. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that gave us no opinion last week on the one play in the Steeler game. I forget which play it was now. Was it the Watt offside?
You're right about that. There was no, I forget.
Yeah, all he said was, well, they can get together and talk about
it. Right, right.
Thanks,
what was that play
Dean?
Now?
How much are they paying you?
Play.
I don't remember. But we had him on when he was the VP of officiating. He said one of our emphases, which is the plural of emphasis. Is that right, Bob?
I don't know. Emphasize.
One of our emphases this year, this was, I don't know, 2017, was to make sure if you're going to call holding, that it's a hold that affects the play. In other words, if it's a sweep right and the guy's already 5 yards downfield and you happen to catch somebody on the far left side grabbing a jersey, don't call it. Please,
right.
Or else we're never going to have a game.
Well, we see that all the time on returns.
Yes.
Every time there's a return, we have multiple screens. Every time there's a return, there's a flag. So, okay, none of them that I saw was directly impacting anything. So, I don't know. It's tough. I think officials have a very difficult job, especially in this age of Twitter, social media, everything thrown back at them. It's hard. And not only that, but the league makes it harder because they come down with amendments to all their things and their emphases, as your word.
But sometimes you have to call, I will agree, you have to call holding because it directly affects a play. The Broderick Jones, the play that got Broderick.
Every single play.
No, you need to be judicious. It needs to be very obvious. And it needs to directly affect the play. And I'm sorry, but the Broderick Jones hold, too, fell under that category, although I had people disagreeing with me on Twitter. If he doesn't hold, blatantly grab the guy's jersey, that guy may track down Fields.
I agree.
Before Fields made that great throw.
That was right in front of the official, too, as the play was developing.
Yeah. But overall, that game was unwatchable in the second half. Just unwatchable crap is what the game boiled down to in the second half. I'm proud to say that Josh Yoey agrees with me, Bob. He's generally regarded as a hockey guy, but I think he's very sharp generally. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think he's real sharp. I love Josh's opinion on just about everything, especially hockey. So, yes.
Wonderful man as well. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Limits, have you ever met him?
I have not. Actually, I think that might be wrong. I've never met him in person, but I think he did a video Zoom call with us when I was at Robert Morris.
Bob, does that count as meeting somebody? A phone call or a video Zoom call? I don't think so.
I agree.
I don't agree with that at all.
I disagree with you 100% limits.
I said I've never met him in person, but I just saw him over a video call. So that was the only interaction I've ever had.
And how did it go?
It went well. But that was all. I haven't talked to him since.
All. Well, hopefully
I would like to talk to him again.
Yeah, maybe someday. 50-minute mark on The Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge Route 19. Peters Township celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. We've talked about Sidney Crosby signing his contract. One of the most unselfish, great athletes in the history of sports. Truly. We've talked about the Broderick Jones disaster. They could make a documentary on the series that he came into the game. Pat Meyer and Mike Tomlin. Their best thinking was, man, the offense is humming today. We just had a long touchdown drive. Let's put Broderick Jones in the game. Fatanu's playing great. We're pinned at our 1 yard line. Let's put the guy in who gave up 8 sacks in a row in a preseason game. That's a good idea. And it almost cost them the game. We've talked about everything, Bob. And guess what we're going to talk about now?
Round the National Football League.
Yes, that's your favorite thing, isn't it?
That and decisions.
No, the finances of that deal at the moment were good for the Penguins. You're going to be paying him 11.5, I think, or 10.5, something like that, for many years to come. right? Mm-hmm. Paying Ryan Graves all that money, bringing in bottom six guys left and right. A lot of guys would like to be handcuffed to the tune of all that, which was basically go out and make the biggest deal in the offseason for Carlson and then throw money around wherever you want after that. Yeah, go spend $30 million on a goalie who doesn't have any playoff pedigree. So I don't want to hear from people out there that he's been handcuffed here. It was the opposite. He was told in his first offseason, go out on the town, buddy, and have a great time. And that's what he did. And that's why this offseason they've done basically nothing, because he made all his big multi-year moves last offseason, Bob.
Well, they brought in people this offseason, though. They've gone out and, sure, and gotten some guys who they think can help them. And
yeah, I
think given the and when I say constraints, that's what I'm talking about. He loaded up last year on the money. He can't duplicate that this year, because he brought in Carlson, he brought in Graves. That's big money to those two guys, not to mention other guys. But the point is, you do that to win now. He didn't acquire Erik Karlsson for a future asset. You know, I mean, he did it so that he, and what happened last year didn't work the way they wanted, and it has to change. And I do think year two here won't be a difference. I think you're going to see that power play get back to where it was, operating at a 25% kind of clip, or 22-3%, not what we saw last year. And I think they're going to have, that's going to be the number one issue.
Well, that and overtime.
Right. Well,
those are two issues that basically cost them their season. And if they ever became bad at either one, they'd make the playoffs. All they needed to be was bad instead of historically hideous. If they become good or great, then we're going to start talking about rising to the top of the East.
Yeah.
That's how important those two issues are.
But with a veteran-laden team, if they get to the playoffs, that's the goal. If you do, best of sevens, you can change things around quite a bit.